Welcome to the Counter Discovery Bay Board of Directors meeting on July 16th, 2025. We'll now call business the meeting to order and we will have the Pledge of Allegiance. Kevin, would you please lead us?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call's been taken. Let the record show all members are present.
At this point, we'll be taking public comment from those on the phone as well as those in the room. Your time is limited to 3 minutes, and according to the Brim. To the Brown Act, we cannot make, the board cannot make any comments, but we are listening. So with that, is there anyone on the phone?
There are no hands raised.
Is there any public comment on anything not on the agenda for anyone in the room? With that, we will close public comment. And now we'll go to the consent calendar.
Make a motion to approve consent calendar.
Second.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye. Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Coteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. And we are now starting in presentations with the introduction of our new Assistant General Manager, Stephen Griswold. The third.
Yes, so we've hired Stephen as our new assistant general manager. So far, no, doing great. So I'll let him come to the podium and introduce himself and tell you a little bit about his background.
Hi, everyone. You all have the pleasure or displeasure of having met me and worked with me, I think, some more than others. But I'll just do a quick intro about my background for the benefit of anybody who doesn't know it, and maybe folks in the audience or that are listening. So my name's Stephen Griswold. I've lived in East Contra Costa County most of my life, 25 plus years in East County. I'm no longer a resident of East County. I now live out in San Joaquin County, but still very much entrenched in this community out here. For my professional background, I spent most of my career, actually all of my career, in a public service in public service roles. I started my career working for a United States Congressman, Jerry McNerney. He's since retired, but did a lot of advocacy for this area when he was your guys' representative at the federal level. Left his office and spent some time on active duty in the United States Air Force. I maintain my status in the Air Force as a reservist. I'm a non-commissioned officer in the Air Force Reserve, so I balance that with this and family duties. And then after I returned from active duty, I started with Contra Costa County working for the Board of Supervisors as the Deputy Chief of Staff running Supervisor Burgess's office and kind of this area out here. And had the pleasure of working with Dina and you all on the board for the last, 3 or so years in that role. And so when this opportunity presented itself, I was eager to jump on it and really, really excited to be here. The team's been fantastic. Warm welcome, smooth onboarding, which I haven't always had, so I appreciate that. But really excited to just learn. I've toured all the facilities for the most part, and got this much knowledge of what's going on with the town. But really excited getting settled in. So I look forward to working with you all. I'll make sure you all have my new contact information. But really, really happy to be here. So thank you to Dina, to the board. Really appreciate it. So.
Welcome. Excited to have you.
Any questions for Stephen? Well, welcome aboard.
Perfect. And then, I think while I'm up here, I'm going to do the smooth transition to introduce Claire Alora, who's a district rep for Supervisor Burgess's office. Claire and I have worked together for a very long time. I'll let her give you her background. But I got to hand select her before I left to make sure that she was our person for Discovery Bay because she's the one that I wanted to work with. So Claire's phenomenal. I'll let her introduce herself.
That is tall.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Clara Laura, District Representative for the Office of Supervisor Diane Burgess. I've been with her office now for about a year and a half, and the whole time have learned everything about the county from Stephen directly. He was my supervisor, so what I do and do not know, you can blame on him. but I am familiar with this area. I've lived out in East County, in Oakley specifically, for 25 years, since 2001. My family and I, that's where my kids have grown up. They're still in school. Prior to being in this office, I was a representative, district representative for former Senator Glaser. So some of you are very familiar to me, and this area is familiar to me as well, because it was part of the region, actually everything from Bay Point to Discovery Bay along Highway 4, that was my region. And so I was very involved in the law enforcement in all of the different regions, the school districts in all of the different regions, and all of the city and town councils in the areas too. So, and then prior to that, I was involved in city government with the city of Oakley as a council member and a mayor from 2016 to 2020. So this is really home for me. I've lived here in East County longer than I've lived anywhere else my whole life. So I'm looking forward to working with all of you. And thank you so much for having me tonight.
Welcome, Claire.
I've left my contact information for you there. So if there's anything that you need, you can reach me directly. And I can leave more cards for the public. They can always reach me for county issues and whatnot as well.
Anyone questions for Claire? Well, welcome. We're all very happy to have you.
Thank you so much.
All right, and now we are going on to discussion and possible action. Do we want to start with item number one?
Yes, we do. And Mike Araka is online to present this item to you.
Thank you very much. This item, just as a brief summary, for the audience benefit, the town's pipelines, water lines have metallic fittings and they're buried in the ground. And as you can imagine, if we don't protect them, they will corrode away a lot faster than if we do protect them. So what we do is we attach what are called sacrificial anodes, which is basically just magnesium anodes that very similar to what you have in your hot water heater, so that they will corrode or protect the fitting rather than the fitting corroding away. And so the town has done an analysis of many areas where we need to have these anodes installed. And there are some that are already installed, but the test stations that are used, which is basically where the wires come up into a box, and so that we can go through and test the electrical current in there, they need to be repaired. And so this project is to take care of about 50 of those station locations. And there's a mix of areas where anodes will be installed, test stations will be repaired, things of that nature. And we did go out to bid on this project, and we received two bids, one for about $92,500. The other came in at $173,900. Our recommendation tonight is to authorize awarding the contract to Corrosion Integrity for the $92,545. When we went out to bid, we were a little conservative on the number of test stations we included in the project. We were going to include about 60 or 70, but we were worried the bids would come in too high. And we said, well, let's go in a little low on this and with only 50. And if the bids come in low, then we can always add additional test stations to be repaired and anodes installed, which is why we're recommending the 30% contingency so that we can have funding available to direct the contractor to install more of these anodes and repair more test stations. And this does keep us within the budget for this project for the fiscal year. And so with that, I will be happy to answer any questions and
it's Leslie. I have a question about that. This project looks like it's in the lakes, contained within the lakes, which is one of the newer, I mean, older community. I'm probably about 20 years old, but with expansion, there's newer homes that have been built in that community. Do you foresee that this project will be expanded outside the this and other parts of Discovery Bay? Is it just a phased? I mean, I know you mentioned that there would be 50 at this time instead of 60 or 70. The 60 and 70 that you're speaking of, will that be in other parts of the community that would be doing this?
No, it would be still in this general area, but your question is a very good one because the plan is to expand this program for all of Discovery Bay where we can and go in and analyze, okay, what other areas need to have this done. So it's somewhat of a phased program, and this is just the first step. And this is going to give us a gauge on what the costs are, what the complications are, things of that nature. So as we move forward, we can do a better job of budgeting and estimating and eventually do as much as we can of the entire town.
Hey, Mike, Barranco, just for clarification, are the pipes that were used for that development different than the pipes that were installed for Zone 8, as an example? And that's why there's this requirement for...
So I'm not familiar enough with what Zone 8 is. Perhaps if Aaron's in the room, he could answer that question.
Yes. So specifically, the pipes are different. You have what's called C900 in the newer developments, which is a plastic PVC style pipe. Zone 8, which is basically everything that's on water, would be asbestos, concrete, cement. But with this cathodic protection system, it's more for the metal hardware that's in the ground. Your valves, your couplings, your attachments, stuff like that. So this is just to protect the valve. So when we go out there and turn it, we're not breaking it and have no control of the flow of the water.
I'm just trying to say, so are those same valves in Zone 8 as well? Or
yes, but this specific project, when the lakes was built out, there was cathodic protection in the system, in the as-built as they built the development. But it wasn't completed or checked off at that time by either the county or Discovery Bay. It was something that kind of fell through the cracks. So this is just going out there, correcting that issue, making it function. Whereas new developments like you have Pantages, Newport, any other future developments, we make sure that the stuff's completed when they go in and do full build. This side of town didn't exist, doesn't have that type of system to monitor.
So are you saying that Zone 8 potentially will not need this type of work?
I'm not saying that. As the valves we replace in Zone 8, we would go ahead and install this cathodic protection on them at that time. Right now, when they fail, we put a new valve on, we put this cathodic protection sacrificial anode test station on already. But right now, if you were to go replace all of Discovery Bay that's on this side, that's quite the undertaking, especially if we're talking about already replacing pipes in the future. That would be something that's part of that pipe infrastructure replacement.
So that was why the Fallman area was chosen other than...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Any other questions? And we had budgeted, Kevin, what did you
say? Yeah, no, I would just say that this was brought to the Water Wastewater Committee earlier today, and we agree with staff's recommendation in choosing the lowest qualified bidder, and we would recommend that the board approve this expenditure.
And there was $100,000 budgeted for that?
A little over that, yeah. Okay. It is in the capital improvement budget.
Any other questions? Let's go out for public comment. Does anyone have any questions? Anyone on the phone, hands raised?
What hands raised?
With that, we will close public comment and bring it back to the board. If there's no other questions, then...
I'd move for staff recommendation.
A second. Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Coteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. With that, passes, and let's go on to...
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let's go on to the discussion of possible action regarding the approval agreement with Ludorf and Scalamini.
Oh,
more. The item before you this evening is an agreement with Ludorf and Scalmanini Consulting Engineers to provide general water services for fiscal year 25-26 in the amount not to exceed $154,743, with additional contingency up to 10% for minor amendments. LSCE has served as the town's water engineer consultant, supporting regulatory compliance, capital projects, and the reliable operation of the municipal water system, which serves over 6,000 homes and businesses and delivers approximately 900 million gallons of water annually. The proposed agreement includes contract management, meeting participation, regulatory assistance, capital projects and planning support, as well as biannual well and pump testing. Approval of this agreement will ensure ongoing regulatory compliance with state and federal water system requirements, support technical, critical capital projects and operational needs with expert engineering guidance, maintain reliable water services for the town's residents and businesses by proactively addressing system performance and maintenance needs, provide flexibility to address emerging priorities through as-needed engineering and planning and support, leverage LSCE's long-standing expertise and familiarity with the town's water system, ensuring continuity and high-quality technical services. This partnership is essential for meeting regulatory obligations, advancing water system improvements, and maintaining the operational integrity of the town's infrastructure. This item was brought to the Water and Wastewater Committee for their review earlier this evening. Jason Coleman is here from LSCE to provide you with any more information or answer any questions that you may have. Jason?
Hello.
Hello.
Evening, everyone.
Any questions from the board?
Did a great job, Dina, describing.
Well, I'll just make a couple of comments because we reviewed this also at the Water and Wastewater Committee meeting earlier today. And we did review the costs, and there is an increase in cost, but that's because every 2 years we do a specific task. And for the life of me, what is the task?
The formal title is biannual well pump testing. Yeah. So every 2 years, biannual, yeah. We perform well pump testing. We utilize one of the very few independent third-party pump testers that can do this work in the state. And we assess the performance, hydraulic efficiency, and overall health of both the well and the equipment housed in the well. We do that every 2 years as part of a proactive measure to, compare baseline data or historical data to the latest data and to see if there's any emerging problem or worrisome trends with respect to water quality, sanding, turbidity, or, well pump efficiency loss or production loss.
So that's something we do. We've been doing for years, every other year, just to make sure that we're losing no capacity, because we want a heads up right away on if that were occurring or if there was a change in quality, but mostly about capacity. So that's one of the reasons that this year it's a little bit more than last year, because that task happens every 2 years. Other than that, we were comfortable with the presentation. And we are very comfortable with the work we do with LSCE.
Yes, it's go ahead.
How many years have you been working with you?
Before me, even, I've been involved with the district now for almost 4 years, and we've utilized the same tester and done this program now for, I want to say, going back to the early 2000s, like the 2010-ish, 2008-ish.
I'd say at least 18 years we've been with LSCE as basically our town water engineer.
I think around that. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, absolutely.
Around that time, it became kind of a formally structured activity rather than being reactive with problems that were emerging with our sources, with the town sources. So, yeah, and I just also want to mention, this is great that the town is doing this. There's a lot of other water agencies that just put the capital infrastructure in, the well pumps, the wells in, and they just flip switches and they don't monitor their assets. This is very important. You guys are 100% groundwater supplied, and there's not a lot of extra capacity. You know, we're all compliant, but we have to be very vigilant with our sources and making sure they're in full working order.
Any other questions from the board? Do we have any public comment? Any hands raised?
There are no hands raised.
Is there any public comment from anyone in the room? And with that, we'll bring it back. We have a motion.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
I second.
Director Belcher? Director Porter? Director Graves?
Aye.
Director Couteau? President Graham?
Aye. And moving on to discussion and possible action item 3.
Sure. The item before you this evening is a contract with Shobe Engineering, LLP. They submitted their proposal to assist the town in preparing two regulatory reports for fiscal year 25-26. The total contract amount is not to exceed $147,480, with an additional 10% contingency allocated for minor amendments if necessary. The proposed agreement includes preparation of the 2025 Urban Water Management Plan for state submission, update of the risk and resilience assessment addressing vulnerabilities that the systems may have, participation in town meetings as needed, capital improvement plan project development if desired, as needed design services. Approval of this agreement will fulfill regulatory compliance. Approving the Shobe Engineering proposal will help the town of Discovery Bay maintain necessary compliance in reporting. This item was also brought to the Water and Wastewater Committee for their review earlier this evening.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Anyone? Any questions? Okay, and with water, wastewater, we did review this and agree with the recommendation of staff. Do we have any public comment? Anyone on the line?
No hands are raised.
Is there any public comment from anyone in the room? With that, we will bring it back. Do we have a motion?
There's a hand raised.
There is a hand raised. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you come up, please? And please state your name.
Absolutely, Melissa Johnson.
Okay.
Just a question as to how these two engineering companies are different, because it says just in the agenda title that they're doing the same thing.
You know, Erin, I'm going to have our water wastewater manager explain the difference in the two companies.
Thank you.
LSCE has been our long-term general services contractor that pretty much knows our infrastructure and has helped us navigate what's needed for the town in regards of our supply of water and the way our wells work and operate and reporting to the state with all the necessary regulations. Shobe Engineering is being hired to take on the Urban Water Management Plan, which is an isolated state mandate project, and also another project,
risk and resilience.
During that process, he also used to work for LSE in the past and is very knowledgeable in Discovery Bay. So we see that he'll also be utilized in helping us in some of our capital improvement projects moving forward, and also in the general services, just giving input. LSE is still our major general services contractor for the water side of this project. We have a huge pipeline project coming in. It's going to take many years to complete. You're talking about miles of pipe, and we need an engineer who knows Discovery Bay and who can focus heavily on that project. And we have these other projects like the Urban Water Management Plan and the Risk Resilience, and we can put that on somebody else's desk to get through that. So that's the purpose of this.
So like LSCC is everyday kind of engineer, consistent with what we're doing in Discovery Bay. And then CHOB is one-off projects that need to be taken care of. So one can focus on what we're needing to do. Is that
fair? Still lend a hand when we ask in some of the meetings in general services stuff, just given the history, but mainly, yes, those two projects, CHOB engineering, and then we'll handle those two options, and LSCE will still be our general services contractor for everything the town deals with.
Well, and it also looks like, and my understanding is that CHOB will be doing more report drafting.
Correct.
Okay, and the other one is advising, actually, the operations.
Correct, yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just as a little background, Justin was our Jason before Jason. Justin worked at he's very familiar with our system. He was our city engineer for, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 years or something like that, I think, before he left LSCE and started his own company. But he's very familiar with our system, which is a benefit to us. He doesn't have to come in and learn it. He already knows it. And the state is getting tighter and tighter with Restano. There's been a lot of articles in the news lately about changing in water and the Delta conveyance system and other things. And we're right in the middle of that. So they're throwing these unfunded mandates at us, and we need to stay on top of those things.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I know that was a one-off. We usually don't answer, but I just felt that that was a question that we needed to respond to at this point. And with that, with no closed public comment, and bring it back for a motion.
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Dr. Belcher?
Aye.
Dr. Porter?
Aye.
Dr. Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Couteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. With that, the motion passes. No manager's report?
Not this evening, but there is a general manager's
report. Okay.
Okay. So Colleen Haley of CSDA reached out to their special districts in her region to help with a call to action response letter regarding Senate Bill 707, which is currently under review in the California legislature. This bill proposes significant amendments to the Ralph M. Brown Act that could negatively impact local agencies, including special districts like Discovery Bay. The bill introduces a series of mandates that may reduce operational efficiency, increase exposure to litigation, and create implemental changes for local staff and board members. Staff read through the bill and the notes provided by the CSDA on their website. We composed a letter of opposition which outlines key concerns for Discovery Bay and for special districts. The letter was addressed to Assembly Member Lori Wilson and Senator Cabaldon. I'm sorry if I said it wrong. For whom this bill would be coming before the local government committee on July 10th. I provided a copy of the letter to you in this evening's packet and will post it as additional materials after this meeting. CSDA expressed its gratitude to the town of Discovery Bay for its support.
Anything else?
That will be all for me. Thank you.
I'm sorry, all from you. Okay. Director's reports. I wanted to bring up the county noise ordinance. The town will be sending out information tomorrow on the ordinance. This is not something that the town is involved with, so to speak, but it does impact the town greatly. And we do want people to know and to submit their comments and concerns to the county representative, Grant Farrington. And Stephen and Claire, please jump in at any point in time. The Board of Supervisors requested that Department of Conservation and Development evaluate noise-related issues in March of this year. So a survey was done. There's been a couple meetings, and it's very much been narrowed down to noise, to amplified noise. And so what is going to be proposed at this point in time, but subject to change, is a noise ordinance on Friday and Saturday until 10 p.m. and all other days, 8 p.m. If anyone on the board has any concerns about this, I'm going to encourage you to please send your comments to Grant Farrington. You will have the information. Is the additional information? No. Okay. Okay, it'll be going out tomorrow, and you all will get a copy of it in case you haven't already seen it. But please send in your comments, questions to Grant Farrington, and his contact information is here. Sound has often been an issue. I know, you know, I hear a lot of complaints, and we hear issues all over town, especially with amplified, with parties and amplified sound that goes on late until the night. So this may not be exactly what we end up with, but it's nice to see the county is looking at it and is prepared to do something. And this would be for unincorporated Contra Costa County. And on the last call, there was a lot of people from Knightson and then just a couple from Discovery Bay that I could see anyway.
Director Grant, but who proposed those times? The 8 and the 10th, is that Grant, is that his numbers?
They started having the meetings in March of this year and started asking questions and gathering information from people. And so from those meetings, they came up with these times. So if you do, I know Brian, you mentioned, which I totally get, that you think during the week 8 o'clock is too early, then bring it up.
This may be something stupid. Who's they? Is it the county?
The county.
Or who's the ones that are forming
the Board of Supervisors.
Sorry, I missed that whole thing.
Okay, the Department of Conservation and Development was okay. Authorized by the Board of Supervisors. They're the ones that requested this.
Okay, so it's the Department of Conservation and Development.
Yeah.
That's holding the things.
Yes, okay. They have held the meetings, yes. And so now the next step is it's going to the Board of Directors, which will be in the next few weeks. But now is the time to input in it. It is subject to change. So
yeah, would that noise ordinance be reflective on businesses like who have like a restaurant, they want to have amplified music on their deck?
I just happen to have a little more information. I think this is mainly residential. And please, Claire and Stephen, you have been much more involved with this than I have, but amplified sound considered outdoor if emanating from an indoor location, but doors and windows are left open. Administrative fines. Regulations would be consistent with existing prohibition on amplified sound in temporary events. It doesn't really address commercial businesses. Can you respond to that?
What about football games? I mean, it's like a legit question, right? Like,
very, yes, very.
8 a.m. is like you go to varsity football. Right,
they're not over yet. Right.
No, not 8 a.m., 8 p.m.
Yeah, 8
p.m.
at night.
Yeah.
You're right. All the information that you gave President Graham is correct. These meetings began earlier in the year, and initially a survey was sent to all of the MACs, the municipal advisory bodies. And
did you get one of those?
What?
Do we get a survey for that?
I don't recall seeing it.
I got one through email, but it was, I think it was random. Because,
And these meetings have been open to the public. Public comment is still being taken, written through the end of July. So you are encouraged to ask any questions. Grant Farrington, as President Graham mentioned, is the contact person and can provide information about what has been gathered at the other meetings. They've worked with law enforcement partners to determine this preliminary ordinance. But again, nothing is final until the board approves it. So if you do have concerns or questions specific about all of those things, you should be in touch with Grant to get more of those details. But I think initially these ordinances and this whole idea came about to sort of address an influx of unpermitted events that have been happening throughout the county in the past, in particular organizations holding, you know, street parties or rallies like that without permits, and also in relation to short-term rentals and the noise that that creates when people rent them out for parties or whatnot. So I think that's sort of historically how this came about. These noise ordinances, however they're established and however they're passed, will allow law enforcement partners, code enforcement and law enforcement, to have more tools to be able to quell that, to fine, you know, homeowners or whoever is holding these events and creating the excessive noise and violating the ordinances. So that's sort of the history of how they came about. And as you mentioned, how they have gathered the information so far, but again, they are still open to receiving public comment through the end of the month.
And should we be, sorry, I'm gonna just, this is separate, but can we be added to the MAC email chain? Cause we're technically on MAC.
Yes, I can certainly do that. I don't know when the survey came out, how that looked. I wasn't a part of that.
No, I understand, but you brought it up and it just—
Yes, like, yes, just for sure.
What else are we missing?
Radar went out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
It was me. So Claire, and this could be directed to you as well. Is the noise ordinance, are they looking at things other than amplified sound?
Yeah, I was just going to, I'll jump in and then you correct me wherever I'm wrong. They looked at fireworks, gunfire, and construction work. Construction is going to be handled differently. It's going to be handled when they get permit to do the work. Their regulations are going to change. And then fireworks
aren't permitted
and the gunfire, are already under other ordinances. So this is establishing a new ordinance.
And I can send all of you the most recent slideshow that was presented at the last public meeting. So you have all of the information that's been sort of developed so far in these workshop groups.
So one of the things that I had sent to Grant months ago, and it's unique, I think, to perhaps where I live, but I don't think there's any ordinances about regarding our airspace. And we have a lot of airplanes that come out and do a lot of practice of tricks and all kinds of stuff at very odd hours in the morning. And it's very loud. I mean, it's disturbingly loud inside. So I don't know if there's anything that's being looked at that or any loud engines, boat engines, car, motorcycle engines.
Yes, I don't know about those things specifically. Did you receive any kind of response from Grant?
He just said that they would be looking at things in the meeting. And it was very early on, in February. So
I can follow up with him about that and see how this might be incorporated into the discussion.
In the packet that will be sent out tomorrow, we'll have all the slides from the meeting, as well as, the information on contacting Grant. He does prefer, if people have questions, call him, please. But any suggestions, he prefers email. So we'll make sure that that's in what was sent out. So any other questions?
Welcome to Discovery Bay.
I don't know if I have a question, just a comment about the noise ordinance. It could potentially be a slippery slope, and whatever we do or are involved with,
I agree with that.
Let's not be, insightful of the fact there's restaurants and businesses that have amplified music at night, and
then
we're a boating community. If we start adding boats to that,
I think the other. The other part of that is we are a commuting community. So 8 p.m., if I'm riding my Harley from work to and from every day, I can tell you I work in Oakland. I leave at 6:30 in the morning, and many nights I'm not home till well after 8.
Yeah, but that's not considered amplified music, though.
No, but what if I had younger kids and wanted to do a birthday party at 8? I mean, 8 o'clock is... Or what if I want to sit on my deck and listen to some music while I'm having dinner at 8:30?
Well, definitely send in your thoughts to Grant Farrington.
I think we have to acknowledge that this is a countywide
event,
yeah, and we're pretty unique out here. For instance, what Leslie brought up with regards to the airline, well, that's a multi-jurisdictional thing. You're not, that's an FAA thing. The county has no jurisdiction to put a no-fly zone above Discovery Bay, but we're unique out here. We do things a little differently than the rest of the county does just because of the way we're designed. And not that we're better, worse, or anything, we're just different. And I'm not sure that things that get, that when things start getting overregulated, they pull things sometimes that don't apply universally across. Things in Richmond are different than things in Discovery Bay.
Unintended consequences.
Yes, thank you. Unintended consequences. Right. That's exactly right.
Are there any questions? All right, and then we've got two meeting and training reports. Kevin, do you have anything you want to add to the minutes?
They've been submitted.
Correspondence, legal reports, future agenda items. And with that, we will adjourn the meeting at 7:41.